Welcome everyone to today's webinar, Stop the Random Acts of Marketing, How to Engage Your Customers with Consistency by Integrating Your Marketing Channels. My name is Serafina Frenja, Channel Communications Specialist at Sitecore, and I'll be your moderator today. We are recording today's webinar, and we will send attendees a link to the recorded presentation within a couple of days. We'll also provide a PDF of the PowerPoint slides. Feel free to share with colleagues that could not attend the live webinar. If you have questions or comments during the live webinar, please post them in the dialog window on your webinar toolbar, that's the chat box, or via the Twitter discussion with hashtag SitecoreStopRandom. Presenting on the topic today is Darren Gornacha, Sitecore's Senior Vice President of Product Marketing. Darren is a broad technologist with a deep understanding of the web CMS marketplace. Early in his career, he served as Director of Technology for a large financial organization. He subsequently ran e-commerce operations for a large regional consulting organization, building sizable e-commerce and CMS solutions for enterprises. In 2003, he joined Red Dot, the Open Text Web Solutions Group, where he served as Vice President of Product Marketing. Darren was instrumental in leading the growth of Red Dot from a small startup to a global web content management CMS company. Similarly at Sitecore, Darren's responsibilities include product planning and management, technical briefings with analysts, press, and major clients, and business development and alliances. Welcome, Darren.
Thank you, Serafina, and good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Just a couple of quick things about Sitecore just to set some context for who we are and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, just a little background on where a lot of this information comes from. So Sitecore is a leading provider of enterprise-class web content management technologies and digital marketing platforms. We've been around since 1999, and we have offices around the globe. And a lot of the information we're going to be bringing to you today is really derived from our conversations with our customers globally. We have over 2,400 client installations now with over 25,000 web marketing platforms around that world. And we've been collecting much of this information from our partners and customers as they're deploying and really trying to bring some of this back to the marketplace and share a lot of our best practices and learnings. So much of what I'm going to talk to you today is really coming from that market. I also spend a lot of my time just working with analysts, Gartner and Forrester, and you'll see some of that content in here as well. So as we're talking to the analysts, learning where they see some of those trends, we're bringing all that together to present to you today. And here's just a sampling of the different kinds of customers we're working with in the marketplace. So some companies from the very large to mid-size, to even some small companies. So they're really a broad swath of company cross-sections. And one of the things I'll say, because I've gotten some of these questions in the past in webinars, is, is this only for big companies? Is this only for small companies? And really the answer is, this is for everyone. The messaging that we're going to be talking to today really spans, all sorts of different size organizations. And really, this technology and the technology space has evolved so rapidly that it's very much become accessible to just about everyone. I will be talking quite a bit about things in a real generic form. So not really talking about Sitecore's technology at all today, but really in the more abstract way. And I'll be bringing out places where I think there's lots of different vendors, there's lots of different choices. So this session today isn't really at all about what Sitecore does. I may use some examples here just to illustrate my points, but really a lot of this can be achieved with many of the technologies in the marketplace today. Today is really about, how to do it, what you should do, and why you should do it. So with that, let's just start in with the typical place to start, which is, what are the challenges today? And I think this diagram brings it together to a fine point, and that is that we all have audiences. They could be customers, they could be constituents, they could be members, they could be prospective students. And that doesn't matter what business you have. You have an audience that you're engaging with. And today, what happens in the marketplace is that we are working in lots of different channels. And in each one of those channels, they're largely separated from each other. So my web activities and my websites are completely independent from how I integrate or engage in email, which is probably different than how I engage on the social media, and that's different than mobile, and that's different than perhaps how I'm dealing with them in the brick and mortar or the call center. And so each one of my customer or audience engagement solutions tend to have, you know, radically different solutions, and they generally don't talk to each other. There are brick walls between all of them. And again, I know a lot of you are feeling that right now. That's probably why you're sitting on this webinar, is what to do. So let me just talk about the impact of that, you know, and really the cost of that, right? Because this creates just a tremendous amount of efficiency. And to make a point on this is this absurd notion that if you let each one of your channel teams have their own booth at the same trade show, you know, they all spent independent budget money, they had their own messaging, their own goals, and they wouldn't share that data with each other. That's kind of what's happening today in the marketplace. Now, the audience, of course, is wondering, what in the world are you guys doing? Why are you saying different things? Why am I getting a completely different interaction with each one of those teams? Now, which one should I be paying attention to? Who's right? It causes a lot of confusion. You know, I love Eric Schmidt's quote a couple years back when he said that, you know, marketing is the last bastion of unaccountable spending in corporate America. And I think he's right that, that we as marketers are struggling with this accountability story. And really trying to find ways. And part of the problem is this, you know, this disconnected, disjointed customer interaction story across all these different ways we're communicating with our customers. And, of course, each one of those is this whole bucket full of data that that doesn't connect to each other. Many of us are living in spreadsheet hell. A lot of this is very channel and campaign-centric instead of being oriented around the customer or the prospect or the student or the constituent. And so this is really not aligned ideally to understand what's going on, and there's just too much of it, and it keeps growing. You know, we know that the data is growing on a daily basis. And you know, ask yourself this, why has this become so hard? Well, we think we're at a point where technology has reached that tipping point. There are so many silo channels, customers having conversations with us in so many of those channels, the tools are completely disconnected because we've gone off and we bought all these best free tools across all these channels. These teams own their own tools now, and they don't want to give them up. And so there's no connection between them, and there's no common language. This is some of the biggest challenge. It's just, you know, what is a customer, and how do you measure a customer in email versus on the website versus in the call center? And so each one of these teams has their own definition for that customer and that interaction and how you manage that customer, how you score and meter that customer, how you identify that customer. And because there is no consistency in how we do this, it's really hard to understand those customers and those interactions across all of those different interactions. So how do we get here? Well, we know that, you know, the channels keep proliferating. There's not a day goes by that I don't get another email with yet another sort of channel or social media opportunity where I should be investing my time, money, and energy into that. You know, prospects, of course, are eager to adopt these channels, and we want to go where the customer and the prospect is, and we want to have these conversations with them. But the reality is, the marketing technology hasn't kept up, and we are slipping, if more out of control. You know, we certainly haven't been in control for a while. And again, it's the pace of innovation and the fact that it's not coordinated that we've become spread so thin that, you know, this leads to that accountability story and the lack of accountability in marketing because we're unable to show hard results. We're doing a bunch of activity and hoping that it's generating some good value. But we couldn't tell you if we're really honest because we just don't know because of the fragmentation across channels, what Forrester calls the splinter net. Because we're fragmented across so many places, it's just become very, very difficult. And I've got this diagram that really, I think, brings it all together for me in my mind. And this is really the impetus behind this webinar was this idea of random acts of marketing. And what's happening today is that, you know, market teams are just trying to generate activity hoping that it's going to work and hoping that it's going to play out. So as we play this scenario out, what happens? A visitor comes to your website, and they spend some time with you, and then they bounce off, and they maybe go and look at some of the competitor websites. Now they do some more research on Google, and they look at even more competitors, still not really sure, so they go talk to their boss. Maybe they go jump on Twitter, and they start looking for different tweets and reading who's getting some favorable mentions. And then maybe they go read some white papers. Maybe they come back to your website and they read a white paper. Maybe they try a free trial. They sit on a webinar like this one. They read some blogs. You know, they chat with somebody in customer service. Maybe they ask their peers, read some analyst reports. And you can see here this is very chaotic map. It's sort of inspired by the old Family Circus cartoons where Billy is wandering around the neighborhood when he really just meant to go walk across the street to visit his neighbor, and it took him half an hour to get there. This is reality today, right? We can't control our customers. Our customers are going to do what they want to do. So the best we can do is generate a bunch of activity, hoping that some of it lands. And that's really what when we talk about the random acts of marketing, that's really what we're talking about, is this idea of just generating a bunch of activity and just hoping that some of this is going to be meaningful. So the problem with this, of course, is that marketing, you know, the marketing view on all this is that they don't know what this person wants. They don't know where they are, where they're going. They don't know why they have or have not responded to certain invites, certain webinar, different content, different email offers. They have no sense of this person talking to them about them in social media. Are they sales ready? Are they even a customer yet? They have no idea what they saw last and what inspired them to move forward. They're not quite sure how to attribute anything. They have no sense of their interest, their level of interest. So, of course, the marketer is confused. They're guessing. They're frustrated. And again, this is very typical in modern marketing today. Now, the flip of this is even worse. The audience is really frustrated and annoyed and feeling pretty disrespected, too, because they're thinking, this doesn't answer my question. This isn't what I asked. They're wondering, how did I get this offer? Why am I here? I'm not sure where to go next, what to do next. The things they're getting don't make any sense. They don't seem to fit into any sort of context. Or they're frustrated even worse to say that I already told you that. They're feeling like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And, of course, the worst of it is if they, you know, if this is how they're going to treat me as a prospect, then what's it going to be like when I'm a customer? And that is a lot of what is happening today. And this is the downside of the random acts of marketing. Okay, so just to state the obvious, we're all struggling for engagement. You know, customers are continuously bombarded with material. They're ignoring most of everything. I think we get an average of 3,000 plus messages a day, and we ignore almost every single one of them. Maybe we pay attention to two or three. Maybe. They're trying to find ways to cut through the noise, and, of course, the way to do that, as we all know, is to become more relevant. Because generally we're not annoyed by advertising. We're annoyed by people wasting their time with irrelevant content. When you're watching a TV channel and a commercial comes on, and it's something about some arcane disease that you don't have and you don't care about, you get just a little irritated because they're wasting your time. And it's your time that's precious. And if you don't have this on DVR, you can't skip it. On the flip side of that, you get that same commercial. And now it's something that's meaningful and relevant. Maybe it's a sports car you've been thinking about. And now that commercial comes on and it's highly relevant to what you're interested in, you lean in. You pay attention. You feel pretty good about that experience. And we know the way to cut through the noise is to be something the customer cares about, to be something that they're interested in. So in general, marketers are looking for ways to better capture and engage customers and even measure the performance of email campaigns and all sorts of other campaigns. You know, Forrester tells us that the CMOs must lead defining and orchestrating the brand experience. Now, that's pretty fluffy. What does exactly that mean? Well, the point they're making here is that customer loyalty is primarily won through experience. It's not won through a better price. It's not won through anything other than the fact that if you have consistency in your brand delivery on that brand promise, that creates strong experience, which creates the strong loyalty. And in all their research, they have found that the number one way to create customer lifetime value and to create customer loyalty is to create the consistency of customer experience. And they're doing a lot of great research here. For those of you who are Forrester clients, check out, the CMOs must connect the dots of the online brand. We have one of our analysts speaking at our next Dreamcore show in Europe, and she talks a lot about how do you orchestrate the brand experience and how do you connect the dots. And so for those of you who have access to that research, I highly recommend that. But really, there's an opportunity here for CMOs and leaders in digital marketing to really start to take advantage of this new space to redefine how that company or brand is presenting itself with customers, with buyers, and again, aligning that. So there's some real value, hard metrics, not just fluffy brand stuff, but real customer lifetime value and long-term customer value to be gained by orchestrating this brand. And what I mean by that is that by creating true enterprise engagement versus siloed independent channels, really you start to see some very deep value. So for instance, at just understanding your prospects. If you can just look at one channel at a time, you just can see what they've done, perhaps on your website or perhaps just an email, versus understanding the interplay between all those and starting to see the trends and the patterns of what that customer is really interested in. you're able to adapt and personalize and communicate and become more relevant to that customer across all the interactions that they have versus just having visibility into what kind of emails they like. Because perhaps that's interesting, but wouldn't it be great if I can actually start communicating to you in email based on what you told me you were interested in on the web, the last web experience? You can start to measure results across channel too. So it's nice that you clicked on that link in that email. That's great. But what I really want to know is, by clicking on that link on the email, what did you do down the road that led to some sort of favorable outcome I was looking for, and how do I connect that back to the original click that you made in that email? And that notion of attribution, and again, being able to marry all these channels together, gives you the ability to start to stitch together the attribution modeling. User experience, nurturing, all actually factor in really well when you can start to weave together all those different channels. Now, the other thing that we found, and this is a piece of research that was done from Marketing Sherpa, was that the number one way to engage a customer in terms of relevance is this idea of behavioral segmentation. So we all know classic segmentation. Classic segmentation is, the piece of data that you have, in your CRM system or in your marketing lists, where did they live? Were they in New Jersey? What did they buy last? All that, those sort of known pieces of data. But what is the most powerful kind of segmentation is based on their last behaviors. And you can see here in this chart that the vertical axis is effectiveness, and the horizontal is level of difficulty. And we find that the two that are the most effective are things that are either trigger-based, meaning time-based, and behavioral-based. And the combination of those two are the most powerful, where it's time-based and behavior-based. And the reason why this is true is what I call temporal relevance. Temporal meaning time. And the fact that there is a shelf life that goes with what's interesting to you and what's meaningful to you. And we know that right now I'm most interested in a topic. And an hour from now I'm going to maybe move off of that and be focused on something else. And so as time goes by, my interest in a particular topic starts to wane. But if I can capitalize on that interest and follow up in a very time-based manner, either by triggering some event that happens in concert with me displaying my interest, I can drastically improve the amount of relevance and the amount of engagement I can get from a customer by doing that. So if you start to think about temporal relevance and you start to apply those concepts and you start to think about how you can create this cross-channel engagement, now we start to move towards more of a conversational marketing style, because now every interaction is progressive. Every interaction starts to move me forward, and it's a listening and learning kind of thing. I'm listening and learning in every channel, and I'm applying my learnings to the next channel or across those channels. And so it becomes very much like a normal conversation you have, with your neighbor, where there's a natural cadence of that conversation, and I can remember what we talked about last time, and our conversation the next time picks up where we left off. It would be a little weird if I walked up to you every time I met you and just introduced myself again for the, as if we'd never met for the first time. You'd think I was a little crazy or I had short-term memory loss syndrome. The reality is customers expect us to remember them. They expect us to speak in the context of the last iteration or last conversation we had, and they really want us to anticipate their needs and be ready for what they want. They would love it if we would actually even ask them some more questions and actually offer things. Now, this is what a good salesperson does with you in the real world. In the real world, a customer service agent or a salesperson is actually asking you questions and having a conversation and then learning from your answers and adaptively giving you more. There's no reason why we shouldn't be doing this, in the digital world and in our digital channels. And even better, taking what we learn in one channel and applying it to the next. So our vision for how this will all come together is that we can have these intelligent, engaging conversations across those channels by blending those three things together. So you have all your channels at the top. You have web, you have email, commerce, social, mobile, all the ways you're touching a customer. Offline channels too, like brick and mortar, like call centers. Now these are the ways in which we communicate. Now what we actually do in those channels is we have campaigns, we have messages, we have offers, we have guidance, we have recommendations. We have interactions in general where we're working with that customer in those channels. And then, of course, we're learning things about them in terms of customer intelligence. And so in terms of customer intelligence, we're learning based on their behavioral profiles. What did they do? What kind of interests did they tell me they had? Which ones did I glean from their behaviors? What kind of attitudes did they have in know, did I do any kind of sentiment analysis? Did I learn what they liked and didn't like? Did they hit the like button for Facebook or not? What kinds of things did they like? And I can start to measure the qualitative outcomes of my interaction that I'll talk about later in the session, engagement value. This idea of learning and measuring how engaged a customer really is based on the level of commitment and interaction they're giving me, how much personal information they're sharing with me, how much they're willing to commit their time and spending with me, and starting to measure some of those. So you take everything you've learned about the customer, and you start to iteratively apply that, again, back across channels and across those different engagement moments. And by weaving those together, you create conversation. So now let's take a look at what this might look like if we started to do this in a more orchestrated fashion. So instead of the random acts of marketing, we can actually start to have orchestrated marketing, and we can actually start to orchestrate the customer experience across that, that journey. So now they still come to us via, let's say, Google, and they hit our website. So they spend some time with us. Now, the fact that they came from Google, we have some opportunities right off the bat because they use some keywords. And those keywords can be used to start to guide the customer, maybe make some recommendations, maybe make some suggestions based on what other people found useful, or just based on other kind of things we think, based on the keywords they used, they might also want to know. Now, let's say we had a great interaction with them because we did the right things. We made some good guided recommendations. They found some value, and they signed up for a newsletter. But, of course, they're still going to do what they want to do because they're the customer. So they jump back to Google, and they start looking at some competitors' websites. Now, we wait a little while, but a couple hours later, we offer them an email saying, thanks for signing up for the newsletter. By the way, we think you'd find these things very valuable. Now, we're doing that based on the kinds of things that they've shown they were interested in based on the last visit. So, again, we're taking the learnings from my last interaction, and we're applying them. And we're starting to make suggestions and offers that are very targeted based on that temporal relevance, the things they showed me they were very clearly interested in my last interaction, and I'm trying to move the conversation forward. And in that email, let's say that one of the targeted pieces of information was a video that was particularly geared at the subject in which they showed me they were interested in. And they made it pretty far through that email to the point where I'm showing they're pretty engaged now. They're watching the video. They spent a couple minutes with me. They made it to the point where I think it's ready to take them to the next step and again, progress the conversation forward. And I offer them a white paper and another email. And so they download a white paper based on how far they made it through. They like that white paper so much on Facebook, they actually hit the like button. And as part of that Facebook experience, they start talking to their peers about it and start saying, hey, does anybody else know about this? And so we can start to, again, become a part of that conversation. And then later on, they jump back and they start talking to a customer service agent, maybe in a call center. Now, a customer service agent has access to this whole history because they can see all this because we've been recording and storing all this stuff in email, all their email interactions, which emails they engaged with, which ones, what did they do across the different web sessions, and we can see the complete history. And based on that history and their engagement level, the customer service rep can say, you know, I think you would find a trial to be the right next thing for you to do. So they give them the trial, and the customer downloads that in this case, and about 30 days later, they get a coupon that is a promotion to buy. But in a part of that offer is, you know, don't just trust us. Here's a bunch of third-party reviews. So again, we're progressing them forward, trying to overcome any kind of final obstacle they may have. We offer them some independent third-party reviews, and ultimately they wind up buying. Right? So this is the perfect story. This is the perfect world. But the idea here is to just show you how we can start to conversationally nurture customers across channels and really move them forward in their interaction process. And I think every one of you have the opportunity to whiteboard out these kind of scenarios and think about what kind of moments, you know, what can I learn from my customers? What can I do to progress that conversation forward? And then where are those moments of engagement where I can start to do some of this? So if you were to do this, what's going to change? Well, the audience in this case is going to start to really understand what they should do next, right? Because you're starting to give them guidance. You're starting to help them understand what's next in the process. They start to feel like you know what they want before that they knew what they want. And that's kind of a great feeling. Everyone who's ever had an experience like that was pretty cool. You know, they also feel like, you know, I hadn't thought about that. There's a chance to expand the customer's perspective. And they can see, hey, that I hadn't thought about that, but that's important. That's sales gold. Anytime you can do that as a sales organization, that is very powerful. They feel like you really understood them. They feel like they really understand the business thoroughly. They're feeling like their questions are getting answered very thoroughly. And, you know, even better, they've thought of everything. And the Holy Grail is, particularly if you're in B2B, you know, I'm ready to talk to sales, or I'm ready to go visit the store, or I'm ready to go talk to take a test drive, or whatever business you're in, whether it's B2C or B2B, I'm sales ready. Now, you know, a great story that I like to tell is one of our customers, Alaska Airlines. I tend to fly a lot, and one of the interactions I love, the stories I love to tell, is I picked the phone one time, and I called the hotline for the Alaska members, and because I just recently hit their top tier as a frequent flyer, I picked the phone and called, and the phone rolled right to a live agent. I didn't even have to type in my number because they were able to get my caller ID and roll right to that call center agent, and that call center said, "Hello, Mr. Bernaccia, are you ready to talk about your Boston trip?" And I got to be honest, I was a little bit freaked out for a minute because I just wasn't ready for it. But at the same time, a grin spread across my face, and I went, wow, that's amazing. Because to me, as a customer, I felt like they cared enough to try and anticipate my need. And even she was wrong in that case. The call center rep was wrong. But she had all of my information sitting right in front of me. Everything I plugged into the website the last time was completely accessible to the call center agent, and that was just a great moment. It was a moment of truth for me because I just, you know, in my back of my head, I'm like, that's why I fly Alaska, because it was a great story. It was a great feeling, and I think there's such those moments of truth are so powerful. All right, so flipping to the marketer's view, the marketer has a much better view of what's going on too. You know, at this point, they can say, I know where this person is in their journey. I know what they're most interested in, and more importantly, what they're not interested in or what's not important to them, because sometimes that's just as important, is not irritating customers by giving them irrelevant information. Again, we don't like to be our time to be wasted. They also start to understand what needs or issues are the most important to address, because we can watch their behaviors across channels and we can really learn a lot from that. We can have a better sense of when they're sales ready. And we also can give our sales organizations and our dealers and our distribution networks and what have you a tremendous amount of customer insight that would help them win the business. And again, that is very important, to be able to bridge that gap and start to take and utilize this knowledge about the customer everywhere in our organization. So let me take us through just a quick case study of one of our customers that's really just bringing a couple channels together, but even in just doing two channels, they're getting some tremendous results. So Blackmores is a lifestyle beauty brand in Australia. And one of their biggest challenges was they were in a very crowded market, and they were having a very difficult time really differentiating. And so, you know, they were surrounded by the big guys like the Johnsons and Johnsons of the world. And as a local beauty brand, they were really struggling with how do they differentiate. And so the strategy they took was to differentiate with a highly personalized experience and really starting to understand their customer and really understand what their customers were most interested in topically, and then also learn ways to keep that customer engaged even when their interest started to fade out on one particular topic, find ways to captivate them again and reignite them in other topics and continuously progress them across a life cycle. And the only way they could really do that is to adaptively understand that customer and engage them in multiple different ways. Now, what they wound up doing is weaving together a web and email strategy that allowed them to create these channels that tracked member activity and behavior and audience activity and behavior and profile them across all the communities, all their TV interactions, all their email interactions as well, and start to engage them in the things that they were clearly interested in right now, but then constantly be probing to look for what's the next thing they're interested in. And so by using email in concert with the website and listening in both of those and tying together, they were able to very finely target and continuously profile that customer. And so they were able to create these targeted areas and really learn the categories. And in their case, they had about 7 or 8 different lifestyle areas in which they were targeting the customer, and use that data set that they were learning from on the web to drive email interactions and then vice versa. Now, the outcomes were pretty amazing. The outcomes that they wound up having was that, you know, their membership community continued to grow and is continuing to grow at this point. This was presented back in November at the Gartner Symposium in Sydney, and it's actually well exceeded these numbers now. But their email open rates are the ones that I think are the most astounding. Normally, email open rates are well less than 10% in general. They're getting 50%, and they're getting 50% because of the relevance. because it's absolutely tied to what that customer was most interested in most recently. And by blending their behavioral profiling and delivering relevant content to those customers, they were able to not only get great open rates, but great click-through rates. And in fact, they saw a 400% spike in click-through rates because customers were spending tons of time coming back, re-engaging, and using email as a triggering mechanism to bring them back and re-engage them and continuously push them through the different interactions that they might have. And so you can see here is an example of targeted web content and then targeted email content, blending those together. And again, this is a slide that they presented at the Gartner show that really showcased what the kind of value they're getting. And this is just two channels. You know, they're actually adding the mobile channels now and their social channels into this as well. But just even two channels alone, they're getting significant spikes in capabilities and in customer engagement. Okay, so that's the value. That's the what you should do. That's why you should do it. Let's talk about how you do it. So first step, think customer intelligence. Start thinking about your websites as a tool and your email campaigns and your social campaigns and your mobile campaigns as opportunities for gathering customer intelligence. Now, there's lots of ways to do this. There's lots of great tools in the marketplace. So, of course, Sitecore has our own capabilities. Lots of vendors like WebTrends has their scoring technology. Many vendors out there in the marketplace can do this. You can even do this with simple things like with Google Analytics. You just have to embed all these tracking codes into your pages. But it's definitely doable. And I think that there's such tremendous value in capturing this kind of customer intelligence. What are they interested in? What kinds of you know, topics do they find the most attractive? And starting to collect and store these things. I would start to think through those things, and I would even encourage you to start to store them in a centralized place, perhaps your CRM system or your customer databases, maybe a membership management system. But collect this stuff about your customers, about their interests, about the kinds of things that are meaningful to them, so you can become very relevant and very targeted back to those individuals across channel. Now, the next thing you really want to do, and if you're interested in learning more about this, we have a couple of great webinars we've done in the past. We'll be doing more in the future as well. A couple of ones to check out was molding the customer experience. That's on our website. There's a couple others where we talk about the methodologies of really using your website as a customer intelligence tool. And again, we're going to be continuing to talk more and more about this because we think this is fundamental to really doing true customer engagement. But beyond that, the next thing you want to do is start to sit down with a team of a combination of sales, service, and operational people who really understand your customers and start to look through the moments of opportunities in a customer engagement lifecycle and really start drawing out scenarios. And scenarios look a lot like that orchestrated marketing scenario where you think about, okay, I'm going to run a campaign and I'm going to try to engage a customer. Now, how can I be more relevant? What kinds of moments of temporal relevance could I use based on the information I want to learn about that customer using customer intelligence? Start whiteboarding these things out and build 10. Build 10, spend a day or two in a conference room and start to just sketch these things out on a white paper or on a whiteboard. And look for those moments of opportunity where you can actually progress the conversation forward, overcome hurdles or overcome moments of reluctance and resistance, and find ways you can use information you know about the customer and content you've got to progressively move that conversation forward. And think about what you could collect and store in a centralized repository like a customer database that you would let your sales reps or your call center agents be able to know more about that customer and how you can trigger interactions that would move the conversation forward. You know, email interactions, SMS interactions, being sensitive to the fact that they're maybe on a mobile device, so you're going to adapt to the fact they're on a mobile device and send them very targeted information that is relevant to them and the fact that they're on a mobile device. Think through those scenarios. And then the other thing you really want to think about doing is measuring this notion of engagement quality or engagement value, as we call it. But there's a whole new set of thinking that's going on around analytics today that talks about this idea of qualitative measurements. So not just how many clicks, not just how many page views, but starting to think about how good was that interaction, how meaningful was every session that was driven by a campaign or every web visit or every email click through, and starting to measure the qualitative values of this. And I'll explain how you do that and what ways and tactics that you can use to actually start to measure some of that stuff. And again, we have more webinars that actually drill into that in greater detail in the future as well. But I'll cover that at a high level, and then we can dive into it if we have more questions later. So first of all, how do you manage these customer interactions? You know, in the past, you know, we've been doing personalization as an example on websites. And that is proven to be somewhat challenging sometimes to organizations thinking about, well, what kind of rules do I write? You know, how can I build this stuff in a way that's not going to break the bank? You know, do I need 20 developers to build this stuff for me? And the reality is there's some really good technology out there now that will allow you to automate the engagement flow and the engagement process. You know, our own technology is engagement automation. Similar technologies exist in other markets, like the marketing automation vendors have been doing this for some time as well. They, you know, their focus is really more around lead management, lead automation. But there's more and more technologies out there. Even some of the analytics vendors are getting into the game now, where they're starting to be able to orchestrate the customer interaction and really be able to stitch together the cross-channel interaction and orchestrate that. So the idea here is that you draw out, you whiteboard out these automation flows and what should happen to that customer, and then you can map them out in these tools where you can decide, okay, well, based on if they come into this channel, do this, if they come into that channel, do that, and create these diagrams, look like a Visio diagram that, of what you want to do with that customer based on the different moments and the different interactions you've got. And it allows you to really paint that whole picture for how you want to engage your customers. Most of us have never really sat down and thought about, well, how am I going to engage a customer from end to end? We just build these point channels to interact with them. Well, now you can actually build that interaction in these proactive tools that let you to proactively shape and guide that customer. Again, remember, you can't control them. You can't force them to go where they don't want to go. But you can create flows, and you can create glide paths, as I call it. You know, think about a plane coming in for a landing, and you're trying to put them on the glide path for landing on the runway. These are ways to do that. And you can find ways to proactively move that conversation forward based on the kinds of things you're learning about them. And it's the glue that stitches together all these channel interactions. So what does this look like? And I'll show you an example of Sitecore's. There's many others. But here's an example of, in our marketing center, we have, you know, in this diagram. And this is our designer tool here. So you can see that, you know, we have an engagement plan is what we call them. And, you know, in this example, you know, we're going to send them an email. And this particular example is our registration flow process for getting people to attend our DreamCore show, which is our big customer event. So you start off at the top, and we send you an email, and then we wait to see if you've registered or not. And if you haven't registered after so many days, then we're going to start to do things. We're going to start to create engagement. We're going to start either sending you other email offers, maybe have a sales rep follow up with you, maybe send you an SMS text, and we can start to decide and to action things as time goes by. So as we drill in a little bit, I'll show you a better example. So zooming in a little bit here, what I really want to be able to do is make sure that, you know, when someone's registered, I want, in our particular case, I want my sales rep to know. So we can see here that, you know, once they've registered and it's a valid email address, I want to actually trigger some things to happen. So on the fly, I want the salesperson to get an alert. I want to send that customer an email saying thanks for registering, and I want to update the CRM with their status. And so in one single place, I can create a bunch of behavior within the organization that's coordinating people and communicate with the customer. And in each one of these diamonds here, I can create decisions that control how and where the interaction happens. And I can start to stitch together the multiple interactions that a customer may have with my organization. And again, it's very powerful. This is how I can start to glue what happens with you on the website with what happens with you in the email, which with what happens to you on your mobile device or in social media or that call center or a salesperson. Now, likewise, I may want to add more things. So as an example here, it's 1 month out from the show, and I sent you an email, but maybe I want to do some other things. Maybe I want to trigger another call to action on your cell phone, so I can add these what we call actions, right? And again, this is very common. Most of the vendors have this kind of ability where I can start to apply things, I can start to affect your web experience, I can start to try different kinds of emails, and I can start to do personalization across every channel now. And this idea of orchestrating all these interactions is really key. Okay. So now the other thing I mentioned was this idea of measuring engagement value. And I think this is a very important point. And again, you're seeing the marketplace really shift here. and start to embrace this idea of qualitative metrics versus just pure quantitative metrics. And the reason why this is important is that originally everything was one direction. It was one-way browsing, right? You browse the website, and so I wanted you to browse the website, and I want to count how many people saw that page. And that was good enough for quite some time. But recently, with all this bidirectional engagement, it's really become a conversation. And so what we really need to be able to do is not just measure how many hits and how many clicks. What we really need to be able to do is start to measure what's really working. Because what we're trying to do is drive outcomes. We're trying to drive people to do things we want them to do, and we want to score and measure the weight of those outcomes that we want. And those outcomes are usually indicative of driving revenue. They're generally a predictive of creating revenue, or in the services example, of avoiding expense. So what you want to do, and the way this typically works, is you assign points, you score points to the conversion goals, and these are particular conversion goals on your website. So these are the ones that are the big deal, right? They are the things that are indicative or predictive of revenue, where you really want this to happen. So in the car buying world, this is taking a test drive. Because if someone's taking a test drive, it's highly predictive of revenue that they're close, they're first. Now, it's not lead score. It's not readiness to buy. But these are indications where they're committing a certain amount of trust and value in you. They're engaged enough, and they're trusting you enough to give you the personal identifiable information. They're spending time with you, and you're measuring the level of engagement. And this becomes this qualitative metrics in which you can measure and score everything else. So the idea here is this. If you were to look at this chart, and you were to say, how's my website doing overall? And you looked at this chart, it's up and to the right, and that's great. And we've all been taught that this is a good chart. But what if I told you that you can also measure the kinds of things and the value in which everyone is getting from each one of these interactions? And we see that the value of all these visits has actually dropped off. And so something is going wrong since August that's telling me that I've done something to my website, or something's changed on my website where I'm not getting the value that I was originally getting, even though my traffic is going up. So the double whammy in the fact that on average I'm getting less value from each of my visitors, even though my traffic's going up. So maybe I've got the wrong kind of traffic. Maybe the kind of engagement I'm having with these people isn't the right kind of engagement. It's important to understand qualitatively how this is performing, because in this example, if I'm measuring campaigns, originally you would think that from a visit standpoint, the growing strong campaign is great. However, when you start to layer in this idea of engagement value, you start to realize that that wasn't quite that good, and that really the golden soil in this scenario campaign is the right campaign. It's the best one, so maybe we need to be doing more of that. And so this idea of qualitative metrics lets you also go back and evaluate your multi-channel engagements and start to understand what channels are affecting what interactions and which ones are performing better. So same thing here in a channel sense. You see search as being a very strong channel from a volume standpoint, but qualitatively we find that email is a better channel, or maybe social is a better channel. So by really understanding the quality of the interactions in addition to the quantity, this is how we need to start to evaluate the different multi-channel interactions. And it really lets us start to do things like attribution. All right, so we're getting close to the end of our time, and I want to give us some time for questions and answers, so I'm going to start to wrap up here. But just to reinforce the point I've been trying to make here, and that is that by orchestrating the customer journey, there's some real value you can have here. One, you can engage in that consistency of dialogue across those channels and guide that customer using things like contextual offers that are, contextual or temporal relevance, as I call it. You can start to prompt people, because people really need guidance in many cases and feel valued when you start to take the time to give them guidance and prompt them for route suggestions on where to go next. Feeling coordinated and feeling like we're all talking from the same page, feeling like you can, as a marketer, identify and overcome interaction challenges, have a much better understanding as a marketer of the customer experience across those channels, and start to understand what kinds of interactions are leading to the best values. And even be able to measure and test offers based on the value they drive, not just how many offers click through, but did they do the right kinds of things, and being able to test and target those things to ultimately lead to the most qualified customer interactions and the most qualified leads for sales if you're a direct sales organization, or the right kind of traffic to drive into your other channels if you're a B2C or working in brick and mortar. So that's really the synopsis I wanted to bring through. It really is about bridging the gap across all your channels and starting to coordinate them in a way that it isn't a bunch of random acts the marketing, but it's actually a cohesive, orchestrated customer interaction. And this technology has really matured to the point where it's something we all need to be considering. So with that, I think I'll turn it back over to Serafina, and we can go into questions.
Thank you, Darren, for that engaging presentation. We have some great questions that came in, and I'd like to encourage you all to continue submitting questions using the webinar toolbar throughout this Q&A or via Twitter at hashtag SiteCoreStopRandom. If your questions are not answered, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. And after the Q&A, please visit the survey link below to give feedback on this and future webinar topics. The first question that we have here that came through via Twitter is, does temporal relevance provide an argument for paying attention to and incorporating pop culture ideas?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, we all have been told that you need to be a part of the conversation. And depending on your business, pop culture will have more or less of an impact, right? If you're a consumer organization, then the pop culture is going to have a significantly more relevant thing. Everybody's business has a conversation you want to engage with the customers. And if you're trying to, let's say, if you're a clothing manufacturer, then pop culture references will be important. And especially if you can jump into the fray and be relevant to that conversation, then I think that pop culture can drive a lot of that temporal relevance. And I'll give you a great example. You know, Michael Jackson passed away, and a lot of companies really jumped on that, you know, on that bandwagon of the fact that, you know, passing him an icon and capitalize on that in a tasteful way. There are places where that can really work for you. There are places where it doesn't work at all. So I think you need to be a little careful about how you incorporate it. But I think it's more about being a part of the greater conversation and then engaging that, for the same reason that you want to use social media monitoring to be listening to how your brand is being talked about and being a part of that conversation too. And again, that's another good example of temporal relevance, where you can be relevant to that conversation and be driving traffic back to your site and being driving traffic back to your channels, so you can become a part of that conversation and benefit from it too.
Thank you. The next question we have here is, my site has thousands of visitors per day. Can I realistically personalize the experience?
Absolutely. You know, personalization as a technology has been around for, 10 plus years now. I think that the real question is, are you trying to do the Rogers and Peppers one-to-one personalization? Are you trying to do more categorical persona-based personalization? The quick answer is, you know, we have customers doing, you know, personalization to millions of customers. And really, at what level of granularity do you want to go? Tools like engagement automation and those types of technologies can build some very, you know, simple flows that just listen to the different types of areas of interest that customers may have. And really think about what you want to know about your customer, right? I think some of the times we get so fixated on doing everything about, you know, what the customer is interested in. We also need to learn and think about what we're interested in and what we need to know about the customer to help the customer. So I think sometimes just understanding the kind of areas of interest that we need to know about the customer and personalizing against some of those so we can help the customer is half the battle. But this can be as broad or as detailed as you like, and my suggestion is to grow with it. Start simple and then evolve. Start with personas as an example, and then maybe do life stage. And then as you become more comfortable with this, then layer in more specific targeted types of areas.
Great, thank you. The next question we have here is, I like the idea of getting marketing focused, but how do you get the whole department on board?
The best way to get the entire department on board is to talk about the end results. You know, I think we've oftentimes, you know, jumped into the technology and get excited about technology, but it's the end results that are really interesting. And I'll tell you a little story. We found ourselves that by starting to do some of this marketing engagement technology and using we use our own technology, right? So as our CMO likes to say, we drink our own champagne. And Paul Markin and his team have really found some very interesting things about spending money more effectively by using some of these technologies and by having this progressive conversation. We have seen significant jumps in our customer wins and our customer engagements. We have also been able to spend money smarter. So a lot of times you have a marketing budget, and we all know that not all that marketing budget is the most effective we spend. If we go back to the John Wanamaker quote about the 50% of my marketing is effective and I just don't know what 50%, well, we definitely see that there's an opportunity to reallocate that 50% that's not effective. And part of the reason why we've been working on this qualitative metric is we think that there are better ways to find out which marketing campaigns are performing. And when you can put that in front of a CFO, and you can put that in front of a CMO and say, we think that we can engage customers more effectively with better relevance that lead to outcomes, actually hard revenue-driven outcomes, it is much easier to make those cases, because it's a business case now. It's not just cool technology.
Thank you. We have time for one or two more questions here. The next question that we have is, how do I prioritize engagement activities?
Wow, that's a pretty broad question. So I'll answer it in a couple ways. But if I don't get to it, please ask a follow-up, and if we don't have time, we'll follow up after the fact. I think that prioritizing, the first thing you want to do is you want to understand what your engagement process looks like and where are your moments of opportunity. And where do customers get stuck in their interaction process with you? Generally, people get stuck in a couple of places. They get stuck at the end in a fear and commitment step, you know, because it's just before you buy anything, you know, anything bigger than a candy bar, there's always that one question in the back of your mind saying, is this the right thing? Should I buy this? Is this money well spent? So places where you can help unstuck people, that's a high priority because it's, again, going to tie to revenue. I think the other places that are, you know, early on, there's a lot of opportunity to be nurturing and warming customers up, you know, even if they're not sales ready, if you're in the B2B world. In the B2C world, I think it's also staying front of mind and brand aware and continuing to have that conversation and being relevant with them and keeping them so that when they're ready to make that purchase decision, you can move them forward. So, again, I'm pretty brass tacks. I like things that are tied to revenue. And when you design out things like that qualitative engagement value, and that is highly predictive of revenue, I'm looking for ways to optimize the maximum amount of engagement value, because that's going to lead to revenue increases. And I think that's always a great place to start.
The next question we have here is, what are the key barriers to overcome? Is it people, tools, money?
Wow. As always, people, process, technology. I would argue that the technology has gotten to the point where, you know, a lot of this stuff is off the shelf. When I started doing this stuff in 1997, I was working with all sorts of arcane technology that would cost literally millions of dollars to pull this stuff off. Now this stuff is far more accessible for even mid-sized companies and even smaller organizations. So I don't think it's a technology problem anymore. I think the biggest challenge is getting ourselves in a room and deciding what do we want that customer engagement to be. We have customer experience today. Everyone's customer has a customer experience today. The question is, are you letting it happen organically, you know, without your control, or are you taking a proactive step of guiding it? I think a lot of us are a little afraid of engaging that and really sort of steering that customer experience. So I think to answer the question, I think it's a little bit of people and a little bit of process. And there's a little bit of fear of what if I get it wrong? What if I don't do the right thing? But honestly, ask yourself this. You're letting it happen organically now, and it's completely without your control. Wouldn't it be better to have some level of guidance and nurturing to that process where you can have a little more control and a far better set of insight? And I would suggest that you start to do this and do it simply, start simply, but put a team together to really think about what is that customer experience across channels, identify where there's moments of opportunity, and start. And we actually have a nice slide that talks about the maturity model of how you can grow this stuff that we can share with you if you'd like. But start small, start simple, start understanding your customers, start understanding what the customer experience is, define that, and then start thinking about how you can make it better.
Thank you. The next question we have here, a couple of similar questions actually to this, is we outsource our campaign management, including EDM, as we don't have this expertise in-house. Do you think a CMS platform that provides profiling and campaign management tools makes a strong case to bring this function in-house?
You know, I would argue yes. Of course, I would argue yes, because that's the software we sell. But even beyond that, I'll give you a couple of good reasons why you ought to bring it in-house. This is your customer, and that's your customer data. I think that, you know, we are ceding way too much ground outsourced and having that valuable information for one simple reason. That should be going to a data warehouse. That should be being integrated with loyalty management systems. That should be plugged into our CRM systems. We do several webinars to talk about just plugging the stuff into CRM and why you should have your customer database centralized. When we outsource all this stuff, we are completely leaving that a lot on the table. And I think that having access to that data, having detailed access that's coordinated with the rest of our channels, is so fundamentally important to having a good customer experience. And then using that data, whether it's in a business intelligence system, data warehouse, what have you, and actually finding other valuable insights, that's a very good reason to bring that in-house and build that expertise. And again, I think that there's huge lift that you can be creating in terms of customer wins and marketing efficiency. No question in my mind that should be brought in.
Great, thank you. I think we have time for one last question here before we wrap it up. And the next question is, how is engagement different for B2B companies?
So engagement, so I think the question was B2B versus B2C, but Serafina got cut off real quick. So B2B is longer consideration cycles. B2C are shorter. In B2B, you're usually selling to many people. So it's not just one person selling to a company. It's many people selling to many people. In B2C, it's really one-on-one or organization to individual. And so in terms of engagement, there are different things you have to do. For the consumer, it's really about helping that customer understand the value, the benefit, and overcoming any kind of trust issue, right? Is this the right product? Is it going to work? Has it been well vetted? In the B2B organization, there's a much bigger context around, they understand my business? Are they going to help me? Have they been successful before? So you're answering different kinds of questions, but there's still a nurturing possibility here. There's still a way to build credibility and build value and trust and engagement. In the B2C side, there's also a tremendous amount of service and support because we need to do that efficiently at volume. In B2B, they're generally smaller volumes on the services side, but equally important to keep that customer engaged. So they're different, but they all have the same mechanisms. They all need the same kinds of things. That just the time scales are different, and the different numbers of people you have to deal with are different. And I think that's generally the fundamental differences as I see, but they both can benefit from multi-channel, and they both can benefit from this style of technology.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you for outlining some of the differences there from B2B and B2C. This will actually wrap up the Q&A portion of the presentation, and we thank everyone for participating. As a reminder, we will email you the link to this presentation, including PDF of slides, so you can view it again and share with colleagues. For more on designing an orchestrated marketing customer journey, please visit the resources section of Sitecore.net. We'd also like to ask you to take a moment to complete the feedback survey at the link below. We value your input and thank you again for attending.